Hi and welcome to What's Next. This is a new episode, and as always, Andrea and I, we are your hosts. So enjoy this week's episode, and we start right away. Have fun listening.
Hello, M Studio. Thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure having you on the show. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
We are going through the Danish winter, but we are...
Did it snow again?
Yesterday it snowed. We had like 3-4 days of spring the last week.
Yeah, we
too. All of a sudden, yesterday was snowing.
Insane.
Yeah, it was supposed to snow here as well, but it didn't. But before we start, please introduce yourself and the studio.
Yeah, well, I'm Fabrizio.
And I'm Andrea.
And we found M Studio. And we are an architecture firm from Copenhagen, and we create this studio in 2019. And now we've moved in Copenhagen to work with another studio and create our network here and increase our work here.
Yeah, basically we decided to move in Denmark because we want to make our network work stronger, because our idea is that in the future will be like a multidisciplinary the multidisciplinary in the future will be the base of the work. So now we are here because this is in our opinion the right environment to create this kind of work group that we hope that can answer some like contemporary question that we as architects.
Did you start in Italy and then you moved there, or?
Yes. Yeah. We met each other in Florence because we were working in Florence.
Okay.
For a quite big studio. I don't know if you know, for Arkea.
I studied in Florence as well, architecture. So yeah, I definitely know. So you start in Florence and then you decide to move to Copenhagen.
Yes.
Okay.
And how far? How far? How is it going so far?
It's going. It's going. It's,
better than Florence, right?
We decided to open the studio right before the pandemic, so the studio was not the best.
Yeah.
Do you miss Florence sometimes? Honestly.
After the lockdown, we understood that it should be nice to move and expand our network also in other country and learn also another way to do the architecture. So
yeah.
in Copenhagen now, maybe it's right place to
hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we're already really deep into the conversation. But before we actually start with this, there are three warm-up questions.
Yeah.
First one, with whom would you like to do a project, dead or alive?
Connecting with the what we told you before, we really love to work with people that is in a way connected with architecture, but maybe they should not be always architect. That's why we are really looking for having collaboration with maybe scientists, physics, artists, philosophers, and people that in a way can or know better than us the technology aspect of the world now, or maybe with people that know better than us the human behavior in order to really understand. But if you want a name,
I want a name.
If you want a name, we are going for James Tarrant now.
Why?
Because his way of working with lights is something that blows our mind every time we see something. So we'll be so nice.
And you, Fabrizio?
For me, maybe with an astronomer, a scientist, but I don't have a specifically person. But I'm so curious to the astronomy and the science in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, also in my thesis, I worked in to design an observatory. So combine these sciences is a good way to work.
So it's more a specific group of people that you looking toward to work with, not just one specific person.
No, he, when at the last Biennale, I don't know if you had the time to go to the last Biennale.
We wanted to, but we couldn't make it.
There were these this super interesting project made by a London office, the Skidmore was, in collaboration with the ESA, the European Agency, Space Agency. This moon shelter that you can like combine and create a city in the moon, and something like this would be so amazing to do.
I can understand this. Next question: if you could develop a skill overnight, what would it be? You can choose whatever you want.
I'd love to fly.
Mm-hmm.
I love to fly. First of all, because I think it's super cool to fly. I can fly, and then because it's a way to see the space from another point of view, and maybe the only way to see the plan in the real world, and having this the possibility of change your point of view is something that we always pursue it in a way, always try to figure out how to see things in another dimension would be my skills.
For me, I would know all the language of the world to...
Also good point.
Yeah. Because I wish to know all the culture and of the world, and talk also with all the people all around the world.
And increase your network, definitely, also. Exactly.
So one of you flies and the other one can speak every language.
Yeah, one fly, the other one is up here and find networks around.
No, really good. So the next question, you already told us a little. You are a really young architecture office. What's your philosophy? Are you actually interested in building something, or is it enough to do really special competition and get famous and public attention through this?
In from the conceptual point of view, that we always when we start this studio, we had like this idea to develop some kind of architecture that in a way will be like out from the normal scheme of that, and also that's also why we choose the letter M to call the studio, because M is like it became from the M theory, is like a physics theory, the mother of the string theory, that say that we are all made by these strings, that when the string vibrate, gonna create ourselves, our life and the world around us. And when someone near us vibrate in their way, gonna in a way affect also our vibration. So we know that our world gonna change
in the difference of the vibration.
Yes, we know that we are trying to change something, but we also know that the world around us is in a way changing us. So this is the concept behind the studio. And talking about the real life, when we start a studio, we have always to find the balance between what we like and what we need to do.
That sounds highly intellectual.
Super highly intellectual.
It's really not. I mean, if you go to the concept, it's quite easy, because it just say that what I'm doing, what I want to do is change the face or put my little world in the whole world. But I know that I'm not the only one doing this, and all the people around me doing the same and doing also other things that, as we told before, people that in a way is around us is always affecting our work. Mm-hmm. So we want to open up as more as we can. And that's why we also work on also on competition, also on urban planning, also on we work on all the scales of architecture. Just also because at the beginning we need to.
You cannot be picky with the choice.
We have to say yes so many times at the beginning, mm-hmm. but also because we like, because we don't want to say we are just going to do competition or we're just going to do renovation. We want to expand as much as we can.
And have you already had one first client?
Yes, we had. We are lucky because we have some friends that start their own not architectural company, but other kind of company, yeah. And they ask us for
furniture company,
renovation of workspace and something like that. And also we collaborated with an architectural studio being based in Rotterdam that they made mostly urban planning. So we are working with them with this large scale master plan, and we are also collaborating with a furniture studio back in Italy, and they are doing a lot of interiors and renovation, and so we are also working with them.
Yeah, but it always starts like this, right? I did so many interviews now, and the question is always answered by either family or friends, or you know someone who knows. So I think it's just the way to start.
Yes, it is. And then it's just a matter of people talk and
things happen,
and then you have to choose what you want to do. For example, we are like a normal studio because we don't have an office, but we decided to move, and so now we are here. Tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah.
If you move yourself to where is some opportunity, in a way the opportunity comes to you.
And it's really a contemporary view. I mean, it's smart working anyway. I mean, this is one of the topics that we love to face, and we will face also in the next step. So the next question, as a young architectural office, how does your design process look like? Do you have, how do you start? Do you have some rules?
No, actually, we don't have a set of rules in the beginning. We usually start to analyze what we have to do and where we have to do. I mean, we have this big part of analysis at the beginning, so we go through the program and we found some possibilities also in the program.
Okay, so starting from the program, you develop a concept, they stick to the program.
Have a deep analysis into the site where we have the project. And then sometimes we're gonna also a little bit deeper, and we try to analyze also the society or what really happened in that place, try to figure out how to create this, what we call this, like a leading machine, because mm-hmm. if we want to use this functional approach to the places, we're not going to the aesthetics first, we're going to the function first, and we want to create this machine where all the mechanisms inside work together to find a good functioning of the old building.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain the process with an example of one of your projects?
Yes, for example,
we
had a competition for a school mm-hmm. in Polignano in Italy.
Yep.
We recreate a rhythm in this building with a module, and this module create the space. So this module create a volume, and you can cut this volume mm-hmm. With this module, and after you obtain a new shape of the project.
Yeah, basically we put together all the functions that we need.
Mm-hmm.
We create like a mess of
mm-hmm.
and then we start to like sculpt it in a way that we like, but
okay.
But first is just a matter of why I have to put this space near this space. It's not only about like putting all the classroom and all the toilet and say okay, maybe we can make a wall curve instead of a triangular shape.
Mm-hmm.
Every room, every single space, every connective space is thought with the always looking to the bigger picture. I mean, we know that we are designing something for like that was like a secondary school, so we know that we are designing something for people between 13 and 18 years old. So we have to find the right scale of the module that Fabrizio told before. So when we arrive to the point that we say okay, this is the right measurement, we're gonna start to create this space,
mm-hmm.
And then when we realize that all the space is in the right scale, we say okay, now we can think about everything, all the rest, like the facade, like the shape.
Mm-hmm.
And this grid you can use also in other projects. In a master plan, on also in a interior design project.
Yeah,
you can adapt the dimension to create a new space possibility.
Yes, because it's just the focus is find the right space between the two elements.
Yeah. But, so first you create this big picture that you know how, where, why, and then you do like shaping and designing the outer look of it. And do you have to do it separate from each other? Like you get this competition, you read it together, or do you go in separate rooms? Everybody has to think for themselves, and then you meet afterwards and discuss?
No, we discuss always reading through. Yeah. We read through the competition brief together, and we write down what we think, and then we discuss, we fight, we stop talking. No, but it's not that we take separately, but we always go through the competition brief together.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work with we had a good dynamic on work together.
In the different project, we know that maybe I'm faster to do a plan and Keith to do a rendering, so we organize in different way. Depends on the project.
Yeah, at some point you just know whose skills are now better than this and the other one is better in this, and then you find your way. With what program do you draw?
We use AutoCAD, but for the 3D, especially Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And for the rendering, 3DS and Corona.
Okay.
Yeah, we are not for now. We are trying to avoid you. I mean, not to avoid, but we don't need to use use Beam for now because we have not reached the point that we need to do something final.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we are collaborating with a studio here. They do like interior renovation and
they use Archicad.
And so we use Archicad with them because it's something that is more in the real life, but we thought that it's not useful for concept using a Beam program.
And for us, use to use the Beam program is not mandatory to be a good architect for us. Yes, it is a good tool, but it's not necessary to draw a good architecture for us.
You already said that you would like to work with other people besides architects. So the next question would be, what means being an architect for you? Maybe should we split up this term of being an architect, or has an architect to be a scientist, a physicist, philosopher, all in one person, artist, designer? Do we have to rethink how we study? What's taught in university, or what do you think about being an architect?
No, I think that in this historical moment, being an architect is like being in charge of try to change the world with the changes that the world needs now.
Because and what does the world needs now?
We have to facing a lot of problems, like we have to change the mind of the people, trying to help them to know how to be more sustainable, how to face the climate change. We know how we need to change our behavior. We need to share more. We need to understand that if we want to get some result now, we need to give up on something.
Oh, you're really talking right out of my heart.
Now, what we really think is that we need now to find a way to change. And that's why we think that work with other people will be a plus, because they can help you to find a way to change. We cannot say just put some trees on the terrace and that's it.
Yeah.
Because this is not sustainable. This is also worse than have like a concrete building.
Yeah.
You're gonna destroy the poor tree that you put in the small vase in the terrace. And so you just maybe have to rethink. Now with the COVID, we understood that we can work from wherever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why don't we just close down some offices and give the office space as shared space for other activities for people? And why we don't try to figure out how to create a better world with what we have now, because we don't need to change that much. We don't need to change the face of the our city. What we need is to change the mind of the people. And so being an architect now means that we need to create this team of people also
share our competence. So in this way, the people can understand that maybe we can share more the spaces, the house, the place where you work, and
another thing that I think is that the architecture of the last decades was always made by this kind of hurry up, you need to do a lot, you need to overproduce, you need to do more.
Yeah.
Because of course, there's something more like the profit and all this. And we know it, but I think we should start to calm down and be able to think again, because we stopped thinking.
Of course. We just sit there like little robots in those. But I think the problem is that the big architecture offices are most of the time money machines. So they don't want you to think there so much about the if this is really the right design that you do there or something.
Maybe in the first time they create a good architecture, mm-hmm. but after they become famous, they draw only for the money. So it's not a good way to do a good architecture.
But we have a small hope for the future that our generation is so far more aware of these problems than the people that are like that lead the theater studio now. So hopefully, in the future, we will have a different kind of approach to the work because the people is different. People are more aware of this also.
Yeah, but I also think maybe we should start with the smallest under us and teach design and sustainability right in primary school.
Yes, I mean it's now is the biggest challenge of biggest challenge ever.
Maybe a good opportunity is to share the work. So create a big community mm-hmm. of architects and to increase our production against the big studio. So in this way we are able to create a big architecture mm-hmm. without help from the big studio.
Mm-hmm. So you want to lead the revolution against the big.
No, but of course we all know that if we put our force together, mm-hmm. we are like more capable and more strong.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the problem at the base of everything is that mm-hmm. in a way you have to pay the rent.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So we all know this, but also this is a matter of the. Now I talk. For the Italian situation is also a problem of the social value of the architecture figure. I mean, if you are an architect in Italy, they'll say that, I mean, if you're an architect and you are maybe young and you want to start up your own company, you are just like a dreamer kid that...
a cat monkey.
You know, and so, for example, here, in Denmark, there is a lot more opportunity of collaborate with people because people don't want like it's not a fight between people that doesn't really have that much to fight for. Mm-hmm. It's something that there's like more stuff coming and people are able to share what they need to do in order to involve you and create like.
Yeah, it's more light. You feel that you're welcoming to collaborate with people. You're not judged. It's, understand what you mean. But of course, as you say, I mean, at the end, we all have to do architecture. We all have to work also for pay our rent and this. But beside this, if you can choose an architectural typology, what would you choose? So if you can completely decide either to do renovation or residential, what would you do?
I think that we are quite good on doing public building and mm-hmm. like school and kind of middle big size building, public building is our is what we prefer to do. But of course we are also interesting in urban planning because in a way you can think about a master plan as like a big building and mm-hmm. Talking as we talked before, create this machine that has to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And really feel that a part of the city is like it's not a living machine, but it's like a urban machine. So
yeah.
to understand what the people need. And also this is an interesting field to explore.
Okay, but now let's have a look into the future and where are we going relating artificial intelligence. So which is your point of view regarding this topic?
For us, the artificial intelligence is a good tool, and this is the future. This is the future. But for now, you cannot use only this, but to increase this technology, you can adapt your design, and you can say to the artificial intelligence, I need this space, I have this square meter, so how can create this volume or shape or whatever. And but for now, the artificial intelligence is just a tool. It's not the way to create a good design. The design comes from your mind. Mm-hmm. And after, you can use the artificial intelligence to design faster and better.
And what do you think will happen to all the people that will be replaced by artificial intelligence? Like all the architects that sit in the studios that do basically that what artificial intelligence will do.
I hope that this is not what's gonna happen, because I mean, it's something that you also can collaborate to in the future when the tool will be so functional. Like it's not like now that maybe it's just having a big help, but you need to, the project comes from you. Now it's just something that helps you. But in the future, you can really collaborate with the machine. And that will be the best part, because you can really have someone that knows like everything in architecture. Is like having a super smart friend, but without creativity.
Yeah.
And so you can find, this spot between you and the machine, and you can create an interesting collaboration. And probably the role of the architect is gonna change, in a way to being like the one who doesn't see the front of the computer just drawing on Revit, but maybe someone with a more like critical thought in order to have this collaboration with the machine.
So you think the creative mind will still be needed? We cannot just give the whole power to this.
No, I don't think so. But
maybe in the future, we can use this artificial intelligence to create a big building. Also, if you are alone,
a small studio.
Yes. Yeah.
And another thing is that if the machine is gonna do all the boring work, you can all focus on what is really interesting, or just maybe have time to think again, as we talked before.
This is a really positive view.
So. Yeah, it's a really positive view.
But you need to be optimistic if you want.
Yeah, of course.
You cannot see everything black. Or
no, then we would be all depressed by Monday. So.
So, next question: how do you imagine the future living and working place? I mean, you already kind of answered at the beginning of our interview, but so now it's the time for develop this.
is what we discussed before. Like the pandemic teach us, if there's something that the pandemic teach us, is that we can really be whenever we want and wherever we want, and just be able to work. And so for the workspace, we imagine that the like meta work platform will be like yes, and also will be more powerful than now, because now it's not that easy to have this work from whenever you want, because you always have to be in a way connected by Zoom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you can create a sharing software that is more like a real office, and having the chance of really working from.
So you mean from different place, create like an office that is connected 24/7 to each other. You don't need to connect to a Skype or to a Microsoft Team meeting, but stay all the time from different places.
Maybe it's not all the time, but only when you run the software, because it could be a little bit of a slavery to have like a 24/7.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that the future is not made by like physical offices.
Mm-hmm.
And same, I think that for the living will be, I don't know what will be, but for sure we need, as we told before, to be able to share more than what we are doing now. For example, we don't need 2 cars per family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can maybe have like 2 cars per neighbor, and just having these sharing cars and have people work together, or same for the house. I don't know. We will see in the future what's gonna happen. But
do you actually enjoy to work from home?
I don't enjoy to work from home. I enjoy to work from whenever I want. Whenever I want. Sorry. Yes, because for example, if I have to work from home in Florence, I had like this 25 square meters house. No, of course not. But if I want to, I'm here and I want to work from the OMA blocks in the city center. Yes, why not?
To have the possibility to stay wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. More freedom, more flexibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also it's good for you, because maybe in a way when you are all day in the architecture studio, you get stuck in this reality, and you really don't feel that time is gonna fly away from you. And
and also you have an opportunity to travel, to see a lot of places around the world, and increase your creativity.
Yeah. So you don't separate work from life anymore. It's like a good mixture that you can travel and you're also working at the same time, but you're not stuck in this on this desk looking at the screen like from 9 to 5 every day of the week.
Yes. Yeah. Because in my opinion, when I'm not working, I always try to do something that detaches me from the screen.
Yeah.
But every time I travel somewhere, but also I go to a bike ride outside Copenhagen, is something that in a way is part of your job, because if you're an architect and you have the chance to go around and see what happens, you're gonna see the architecture of the place, so you can learn something, and maybe you can just meet new people, and it's always something that it's gonna help you. Maybe not in the from the work point of view, but for sure in the social point of view, it's a good way.
Mm-hmm. And do you think we have to rethink how much space we as human beings actually need in terms of the growing population?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Is the only way to have enough space for the people now is sharing the spaces, for the work and for the living part, we must to create a new type of space, and also a new mentality for the people.
And also we have to stop thinking that your big house is something luxury. We have to bring a more democratic way of using space, because you can have a small tiny house, but a super nice, sharp and elegant and luxury tiny house. You don't need like this 1,000 square meter mansion for you.
So a single family house with two cars and a dog and a little garden. It's nothing we see in the future.
I'm sorry, but it's gonna be obsolete, this way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have this big problem of the climate change. Some territories gonna be like no more usable. So we cannot, probably in 10 years, we cannot live anymore in all the middle part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It would be too much hot. So we're gonna have like this temperate space like Europe and North America, and with maybe the double of the people that we are now. And of course, we need that everyone at least has this living space. And so, for sure, we have to rethink how to use our city.
Do you have any idea how artificial intelligence could help us with the climate change?
Yeah, there are a lot of software,
mm-hmm.
especially in Grasshopper, that analyze the smoke and the density of the population
mm-hmm.
in a specific area of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put this data on the program creates the, not the, the architecture, but a sort of volume. The
most efficient
exactly.
shape of the building.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's now, but for sure we need to create a software to in order to don't waste as much as we waste now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do you think maybe we produce so much trash and so much waste that we can maybe create something that
yes,
helps okay, us also, and that we don't have to ship it to Ghana and burn it there during the night? So
that's true. No, we are like, I mean, we of course we need to, as we discussed before, to change the people mind about this, because what I feel that is happening with the people that I talk with is that they know that there's something wrong with this climate change, but someone gonna fix it. Yeah, okay. Someone gonna. I mean, we will go through also this. But it's not like this, and we are gonna create more and more waste. Same in the normal life, same in architecture. So if we can find a way to don't waste that much.
Yeah, I also have the feeling that most of the people are not willing to do this cut in their private life, because they think, okay, I work here and now I want also this because I deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they say, why I have to do this and maybe you don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the human being. But when we'll be too late, I'm sorry for saying it, when we'll be too late, we all gonna run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like always. Like always. But yeah, we are going to some sad discussion.
Okay, now it's not positive view anymore. We switched the other part. Okay, guys, so for end, this is like, so the last question, what is architecture for you personally?
You can also answer in Italian. The stage is now yours for you three.
No, I mean, we're all gentlemen, so we will
keep
talking in English.
My Italian skills are not ready to be in public right now.
I will answer only with two words in Italian for what is architecture, and mm-hmm. is a croce delizia.
Okay.
Like torture and delight, because it's really what we love to do. We love
but it's really hard.
But sometimes it's really a painful, painful job, and we always have to struggle to try to be as good as we can in this historical moment that is so tough to
mm-hmm. And you, Fabrizio, what do you think about it? Do you have also two words that can explain or even more?
Also in Italian.
No. The problem for me, it's create a good architecture Also, when you design for a competition, you need to have a vision of the municipality and mix the vision of the municipality with your.
Mm-hmm.
So you must find a compromise. So it's very hard, but
so the struggle between municipality and what you want, like, yeah, find a good balance between those two.
Yeah, but if you really live this profession, it's not possible to stop thinking about it. Like, it's it's a tough choice.
We chose it, and we have to deal with it.
Yeah, of course. But we, for example, when we worked for a quite big office in Italy, I mean, we had like this, was not 9 to 5, but was 9 to 8 work. Everything was gonna like okay, but at some point we realized that
it's not your design,
and we missed something. No, it's not about like the money or the signature on the paper. It's not about that. It's just about that. If you really want to do this job, at some point you have to find something into yourself and say, okay, now it's time for me to do what I really want to do.
That's a really beautiful last sentence. I will just leave it like this. Thank you very much that you took the time to be on the show. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!